Amen. Right now, I just want you to be in this moment. I'm realizing now that this is my first time being in person, worshiping. Not preaching, worshiping with all of you. It's such a surreal moment. So I ask you in this moment to maybe sit a little straighter, maybe put your feet flatly on the ground. Do not close your eyes, but look around. Take in this very moment. Take it in that we are being reunited again. For a long time, churches have held a deep sense of longing for a world to be familiar again. It feels so surreal for me right now, but yet so familiar. As in our announcements, I was introduced. I'm Reverend Heather Giffen. I am currently a member at First Congregational Church, United Church of Christ, in downtown Columbus. I'm also attending All Nations Indian Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, online. Two very different places of faith, but each, as I'm sure and continue to read about your congregation, faith-filled places of faithful people. It feels like in the Bible these days, these stories feel more real and more relatable in this time of pandemic. Take our first healing story of the woman who was hemorrhaging for 12 years. During those 12 years of spending all of her money and getting no better, she was likely isolated from society, from her friends and family. Because she was hurting, she was considered unclean. And that, you know, like in the pandemic, she could not touch or be touched by anyone. From experience, we know how emotionally and spiritually damaging that can be, how painful that can be to live alone, to be alone, and not have the human touch of hugging or even shaking hands. This particular woman, she and us have been deeply longing for healing, to be reunited with loved ones, with family and friends, and all that is familiar. You can imagine now just how faithful and how desperate this woman's reach was for Jesus' clothes. Her faith that called her to reach out and touch him, which not only, I mean, she was out during this time, the time of Jesus, she was breaking all kinds of rules. She was out probably without a chaperone because no one would be around her. And she was reaching out to touch someone, to touch Jesus. Again, because she is unclean, it was absolutely forbidden. And so, when Jesus realizes that something had happened, and asks, "Who touched me?" In the midst of a crowd that was already pressing on him, all kinds of people were touching him and wanting to get his attention. And he asks, "Who touched me?" When the woman confesses that she had touched him, because she knew that the moment she had touched him, she had been healed. So some transference of power, of healing, had happened. Suddenly, all of the rule-breaking and fearlessness had escaped her. She was once again a woman in shame, confessing to Jesus all that she had done. But of course, Jesus, being Jesus, responds to her and says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, healed from your disease." Now, by addressing her as daughter, she is also healed from the social pain by acknowledging a kinship relationship with her, by calling her daughter. First, passively, he healed her from her ailment. But now, face to face, he had healed her from her social ailment, confirming to her, "Yes, you are healed, you are no longer unclean. Go in peace." In the midst of us, we are also in another healing story with Jairus, a healing leader, a religious leader, likely a Pharisee, who is insistently, throughout this story, is insistently asking Jesus to come with him and heal his daughter because she was on the verge of death. And then, of course, after Jesus heals the hemorrhaging woman, somebody comes up to them and says, "Jairus, I'm sorry, but your daughter has died." But Jesus continues this insistence and says, "Do not be afraid, but have faith." And so they are persistent. Jesus turns out all those who are laughing at the thought of his daughter being alive and comes to see the daughter and just simply tells her, "Young woman, get up. You are simply sleeping. Get up from your rest." At that, she walked around. She was awake. She had awakened from her deep sleep of death. Reading each of these stories reminds me of the wisdom of a former Episcopalian bishop of Alaska, professor at Luther Seminary, and so many other titles. I mean, dean of Episcopal Divinity School, and also a member of the Choctaw Nation, Stephen Charleston. Recently, he published a book called Ladder to the Light, when he talks about a wild faith. We are a wild bunch of believers. Those of us who break the rules for a good cause. There is more than a method to our madness of love. We are not disrespectful of somber predictions for our shared future, but unwilling to let resignation to be our best shot. We are joyfully insistent on the alternative of hope. We are unapologetically committed to trusting something bigger than ourselves. We are wild because faith is wild when it is untamed by the fences of fear. We have had so many things to fear in the pandemic, in wildfires, political unrest, racial reckoning. As a nation, in a way, we've had a near-death experience of our own. Yet we, like Jairus, like the hemorrhaging woman, are persistent in their faith in Jesus, persistent in coming together, whether online or in person, outside, with masks, 6 feet apart. There's a way out of no way. I feel like that has been our theme in so many ways of the church, of lives together in our world, trying to make a way out of no way. Having a wild faith and not letting fear contain us. Believing again that we are followers of Jesus, that in Jesus we can trust again. We do not need masks or social distancing when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to finding a way. We are breaking convention. We are breaking rules to gather even nationally as a church, still holding our biannual national gathering of General Synod this year online. The wonderful thing about this particular gathering is that, you know, so many people who would otherwise not be able to attend for whatever reason are able to attend. We're able to see the church at work. I have seen on so many spheres of our society that countless performances, conferences, services, all that normally costs thousands of dollars to come together are no longer a barrier. We can do it online. We can do it for free. We can meet people from all over the world. Right now, I am working with our partnership group for Heartland Conference that is allowing us to plan our second conference together with our German partnership in Westphalia in Germany to create a conference of worship, of learning, of finding hope again as leaders, as people of faith, finding a way out of no way. Empty church buildings have been turned into homeless shelters or places of warmth during the day, during winter, a place for children to go to after school when community centers are limited in capacity, or they become impromptu homeless or food pantries. My church up in Minneapolis suddenly became a food pantry, or a vaccination clinic for those at least especially those who are homeless, to get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Anything can be possible if we are not bound by fear, if we hold on to this wild faith that, yes, all will be well. We can find new ways to celebrate diversity and live in solidarity with our LGBTQIA plus brothers and sisters by putting out a pride flag, by showing on our social media the solidarity that we are with them and celebrate our diversity, our differences. Because we have a wild faith. This simple act of wearing a mask is a whole new way of loving our neighbor, of living out our faith, of being what Jesus has called us to be healers. Also, in this idea of wild faith, the idea of rugged individualism quickly fell apart when we all had to be in our homes if we were not a required to work in grocery stores, to work to deliver the mail, or farmers, or food production lines. We realize how much we rely on other people to live out our days. How much we rely on each other as people of faith, as a community, to come together and build up one another in this time of struggle. I was just hearing before the service here of impromptu concerts that have been happening on Sunday afternoons. And people just coming to see this concert, to look forward to some kind of performance, some good news, some healing music. I'm just so thankful for the ways in which we have become creative during this time. There is so much to feel anger and sadness about, but there is so much more to find joy in, to be a healing presence, whether online or in person. The other thing that I appreciate about these messages is the beautiful language, especially of Psalm 30, that our mourning has turned into dancing, that we have gotten rid of our sackcloth and we are clothed in joy. What a beautiful image. Think about that as you rise each day this week. Rise and be clothed in joy. Do not be tamed by fear, but continue to look for opportunities. Continue to find in small ways our ability to be a blessing to one another. Persistence in faith, not being tamed by rules or fear. Turn this morning into dancing. Amen.